Our sixth lesson comes from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, beginning reading with the first verse. John the Baptist prepares the way. Listen for God's word to us. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it was written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I'm sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way." The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole world, the whole Judean countryside, and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Here ends the lesson. The beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, according to the Gospel of Mark, comes at a time that really needs good news. Imagine that you're living in the Holy Land 2,000 years ago, maybe even in Galilee, about 40 years after the life of Jesus. There have been wars and rumors of wars. Sometimes the revolution against Rome goes well, sometimes not. Many have died on both sides. Rome has besieged Jerusalem. Inflation has skyrocketed. Everything is running out. People are caught between the armies of Rome and the guerrilla fighters. On the other hand, some say the only way to a peaceful solution is just to lay down your arms and trust in Rome to be merciful. Others say fighting is the only way. Families, neighbors, communities are divided over the solution. The followers of Jesus, they're held in suspicion by everyone because they won't take sides. No one is immune. The world is in a terrible mess. That's the situation when Mark writes an unexpected, the beginning of the good news of Jesus, the Son of God. Just when it seems there is no good news, Mark says there is. Just when there seems no hope for peace, Mark says differently. He reaches back into the Old Testament prophets, positions John the Baptist as the messenger of Malachi, and the voice crying in the wilderness of Isaiah's vision of good news. I admit, many will find John the Baptist just to be a speed bump on the way to Christmas. Here in the days of Advent, John slows us down with camel hair, clothes, and a leather belt with honey and locusts, and his voice crying in the wilderness, calling us to repent of our sins, when what we really want is to decorate the tree, to hang the lights, to sing the songs of rejoicing, as if everything were just fine. But we know it's not. Daily, the news is focused on the horrors from the Holy Land, once again caught in religious and ethnic fighting. According to the Geneva Academy, there are currently 110 armed conflicts ongoing in the world. the Middle East is just the latest of them. 110, Cyprus, Egypt, Iraq, and Israel are just the beginning. Mark's world is not so different from ours. Yet he looks around at the world and declares, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. To make his case, he appeals to John the Baptist as the voice crying in the wilderness of Isaiah to prepare the way of the Lord. He remembers that at the worst time in the history of Israel, Isaiah spoke good news. John echoes the words of the prophet spoken during the time of the Babylonian exile. You remember the exile? Jerusalem lies in ruins. The temple was burned. The walls of the city were pulled down. Thousands were killed. Thousands more became captives in a foreign land. Catastrophe had come upon the nation. A generation was born in exile. And still in Isaiah chapter 40, the prophet announces good news. Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem that her warfare is ended. Her term in prison has been served. Her penalty for sins has been paid double. She's going home. It's good news of restoration. Hundreds of years later, Mark sits in the Holy Land, a generation after Jesus, and declares that no matter how bleak it gets, no matter how unstoppable the violence seems, no matter how steep the hill of hope, God is still our hope. And that's the good news of Jesus. Mark looks through the cross, through the resurrection, through John the Baptist, all the way back to the words of comfort from the prophet Isaiah. And Mark embraces the good news that God is still at work in the world. God is still the hope in our world of despair. God is still the possibility of peace in our troubled world. In an article that appeared in the New York Times several years ago, novelist Dan Wakefield tells of the darkest time in his life. Despair was about to engulf him. His closest relationship had fallen apart, and he was left all alone in the world. He was out of money. His parents had died in the last year. Work was souring. He was falling into addiction. By his own description, he was headed to the edge of a cliff. Dan found himself during Advent in a bar, having a random conversation with a house painter about where to go to church on Christmas Eve. The house painter was looking for a place, not Dan. It prompted something inside Dan. He ended up in church on Christmas Eve. Even more surprisingly, he went back to that church. Little by little, he got involved in the life of faith, Bible study, personal devotions. As he became more involved, something inside him, he said, changed. Life was no longer simply adrift. He felt a growing sense of purpose and freedom. He set aside his addictions. In his words, at some point, they were lifted, taken away. He felt forgiveness for his failures and the good news of a new life being possible. About 15 years ago, a group of Presbyterian Christians gathered in the Middle East to light their Advent wreath. It was a dangerous time of political chaos. desperation grew in the world around them. It was a risk. The pastor was asked why they would take a risk just to light an Advent wreath. He said, "We have no choice. We have no choice but to hope in a better future as a people of faith. We don't rely on hope in the situation around us. Our hope comes from believing that history is firmly in the hands of God." In Advent, we hope for the peace that is not apparent. We dare to proclaim good news to the world when the world is full of violence, disease, natural disaster. We speak comfort to those who are still in exile and invite them home from the darkness of the world into the light of faith. So let us hope in the good news of Jesus Christ and trust in God for the promise of peace and comfort. Thanks be to God. Amen.